All right, hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, let's run over to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, and we're going to go to verse number 11. We'll read that verse. We'll pray, ask the mighty God of the heavens for help tonight. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 11, and we'll see what our God has for us tonight. Some of y'all was touching on it already, and I was like, man, get off my message, amen? And but you'll see exactly when I read it to you here in a few moments. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 11, the Bible says this: through faith also Sarah, the Bible says, herself received strength to receive or conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. The Bible says through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. I want to talk tonight, as we're going through our faith series out of Hebrews 11, I want to talk tonight on this little thought: incredible faith. Incredible faith. Father, I pray for your mighty help tonight. Father, we came out tonight to worship you. We came out to exalt your holy name. We came out to hear from the word of God. And Father, as we come here, Lord, the last service we'll have here at sunrise for 2011, I do pray and ask God that you'd breathe upon us with a special breeze. I pray and ask God that you'd touch us in a very unique and awesome and life-changing way. And I pray, God, that each of us will leave tonight with that incredible faith, that incredible confidence in a living and true God, which, of course, Father, is you. I pray, God, we trust your word, trust your promises, believe, God, what you said that you would do, and then watch it take place in our very lives. And for that, God, will shout hallelujah. And then, God, as we pass through this way, I do want to pray again. We can't pray too much. I do want to pray again for all the requests that were made known tonight of various needs. Those who are battling cancer. Those, God, who are battling emotional situations. Those who are in the midst of financial crisis. Those who are needing jobs. Those who are having health issues. I pray, Master of Heaven, that you breathe on every situation. I pray, God, you give us that peace in our soul, that peace in our spirit, that the mighty God will do exactly what you promised us that you'd do. You said you'd hear the cries of your children as we came to you and cried out to you on a regular basis. And for that, God will shout hallelujah. I pray, God, for our young people tonight. Breathe on these young girls and boys and teenagers. I pray, God, you'd use them in a tremendous way to spread the good news that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. One young teenager mentioned tonight how he wanted his faith to be increased. I like it. And I like it when our young folks are saying, God, increase my faith. Increase my confidence and my reliability on a holy God. Father, help somebody tonight, because somebody needs your touch. Somebody needs your help. God, please, sir, I pray, God, that someone that might be in bondage in their mind, and bondage in their spirit, bondage in their heart, their feelings, and their emotions, I pray, God, you come by and break through that hard wall. I pray, God, you break down that barrier. I pray, God, you break down whatever it is that has them hemmed up in a corner. I pray, God, they come out swinging. I pray, God, they come out fighting with the power of the Holy Spirit of God behind their fists as they punch their way out of a situation the enemy is trying to lock them in. And that, God, will thank you. Help us, Master. We trust you. And Lord, if I've left anything out, I pray, God, you meet that wonderful need too. And we'll praise your sweet name. We love you, sir. We bless your sweet name again. We make our requests, our thanks, our praise in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Hallelujah. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his promises. We were praying that. I'm reminded over that verse. I was trying to get to y'all sometime or another when I came across it. I didn't come across it, but I was praying. And the Lord said, know that verse you're looking for? I said, yeah. Open that Bible. Open it up and flip around that verse. It was over in John 14, verse 13 and 14, where the Bible says this. Jesus says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I like it, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I might do it. His word says, I will do it. Is that what he's saying? And that's his promise, amen. And I'm going to tell you what, my dear friends, we need to start believing the promises of a holy God. But oftentimes we are afraid to say or come and we want to ask this in the name of Jesus. In other words, in his authority. Because you know what? Where his desires may not be our desires. So we say, well, Lord, I don't know if I want to ask it that way. But I'm going to tell you what, whatever God has for us, it's all good. It's all good. Ain't none of it bad. God had never gave you a bad dish. We may not have liked what we were eating, but it was definitely good for our spirit and good for our soul. Amen. We're going to talk tonight on a little bit about that faith we just read about. It takes faith to believe that word. And we need some of that incredible faith that we're going to see here in a few moments from a lady by the name of Sarah. Now, Sarah's been beat up. Poor Sarah. Sarah has been beat. She has been drugged in the mud. We'd be like, Sarah. You know, when Sarah told Abraham and Sarah tried to intervene. And Sarah, you better read your Bible. Listen, my dear friends. Well, while we're sitting there beating up on Sarah, the Bible says this. Through faith. Sarah. Yeah. The folks that are listed in chapter, I'm about to have a spell. The folks who are listed in Hebrews chapter 11, my dear friends, are people he is using as examples of faith. But if God hadn't put it in Hebrews chapter 11, we, as we read over in Genesis and other verses, we would have decided that she was someone that lacked faith. When God said in Hebrews, through faith, Sarah. Sarah. Well, Sarah went and got Hagar and said, well, I'm going to try to help God. Where's the Bible say that at? I'm not trying to beat up on nobody that's preached that, but where's the Bible say that at? Where's the Bible say that Sarah tried to help God? It ain't there. Go from Genesis to down to Revelation. It ain't there. We said, well, read it, read it. Read the chronological, chronological order of the whole story. And you'll see, my dear friends, she was just doing what she was, with the information that she had available to her. But yet we, boom. That's how we do folks in real life. We beat them up, kick on them, and they ain't got no, how you know? Listen, my dear friend, the Bible says, God's word says, that through faith also, lined up with Abraham, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive. Why? The Bible goes on to say in the latter part, verse 11, because she judged him faithful. Sarah judged God faithful or trustworthy who had promised. Oh, that had messed up some of my brethren. And it messed them up, amen. Because the Bible, so what's going to happen is this. Somebody got to try to explain that away. Because the Bible says that she believed his promise. And because of her belief, she received strength to receive. Man, that's, I'm about, let me show you this before I get off. First of all, that word incredible. That word incredible means very difficult to believe. It means so extraordinary as to seem impossible. Many of us have faced some incredible situations. But it takes incredible faith to believe that God would keep his word and keep his promise. And that's the type of faith I believe that Sarah had. Incredible faith. In other words, she was believing that God could perform the incredible. That he could perform that which was not natural. That he could perform that which seemed, keyword, seemed impossible. What's the first thing here? The first thing is this. If you have incredible faith, you must rely not on your own promise, but rely on his promise. Look, the Bible says back over in Hebrews chapter number 11. Well, let me go back in just a second. But look at Hebrews 11, verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. The key word now, or the key question now is this. What was the promise? Now let's go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 9. Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 9. Now, in this verse, as far as we know, is the first time that it comes to the ears of Sarah that Abraham is supposed to have a child through her. Not have a child, but have a child through her. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 9. The Bible says this. And they said to him, now I want you to understand too, this is after Ishmael has come on the scene. This is after that Abraham has been with Hagar. The Bible says in chapter 18, verse 9, and they said to him, where is Sarah thy wife? The Bible says, and he said, behold, in the tent. The Bible goes on to say, and he said, I will certainly return to thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, and this is also the first time that as far as we know that's written down, that Abraham hears these words, that Sarah, thy wife, he had already told me it would come from his own loins. But now he's saying, Sarah, thy wife. The Bible says, and he said, and Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. The Bible says, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, the time had gone by for her to actually have a child. Her age had put her in a position that she wasn't naturally able to have a child at this time. But watch what the Bible says. The Bible says, therefore, this is the reason why. The Bible says she, or Sarah, laughed within herself. The Bible says, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Not only am I old, I'm old. The Bible says, and the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Now, where is she laughing at, y'all? Within herself. She ain't laughing out loud. The Bible says, but the Lord said, wait a minute. Why is she laughing? Shall I of a surety bear, or shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Here it is, guys. Is there anything too hard, too difficult for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah, sometimes you need to be quiet. Yeah. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. For the Bible says she was what? Afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And he moved on. The men rose up, the Bible says, from this, and looked towards Sodom. They had business to take care of. But the Bible says, when she heard this, she laughed. Well, she should have been laughing at God. Okay, you need to study these words out. The word laugh here is used in different ways. It all depends on the context in where it's placed at. And the laugh that she had here, my dear friends, was not one of disbelief, but one of incredibility. It was like, and if you want to say disbelief, use it in a sense of like this. How in the world can this be? How can this happen to me? The Bible says, my dear friends, that when she laughed, it was like, it's like this thing. Like, come on. I mean, yeah. You serious? And she didn't do it out loud either. So let's give her a little break here. She did it on the inside like some of us do. When I'm preaching, I'll be saying something God seems like. Some guy may think the words out of his mouth a little bit right. But at the same time, my dear friends, here, and by the way, she wasn't the only one that laughed. This is the same Hebrew word it uses with Abraham in a few chapters before when the Bible says he laughed. But notice when she laughed, the response that came from the Lord was this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Because she was laughing. This is incredible. How can this really happen? He said, ain't nothing too hard for the Lord. And then we'll see later on that the word, the name Isaac actually means something called laughter. See, laughing ain't just like, well, I don't believe that. Laughing can mean joy. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I mean, it can mean a whole lot of other things, amen? But nonetheless, her faith was in something. She's relying on a promise that God had given. God had promised that there would be a child. So you have incredible faith. Number one is relying on a promise that God has given. So that's why it's important to read the Word of God and find out what are the promises. But out of that, my dear friends, also incredible faith, my dear friends, receives. Look back now with me back over to chapter number 11. The Bible says this in chapter number 11 and verse number 11. The Bible says this. The Bible says, my dear friends, through faith, also Sarah herself received. See, when you and I have faith, when we have confidence in God, then God will give us some things. We'll receive some things that we need from him. In this case, my dear friends, do you know what she needs to receive from him? Strength to be able to have a child. She's in her 80s. And when an 80-year-old woman came, she said, I'm having a baby. I'm like, oh, Lord. Yeah, what'd you say? Bless your soul, bless your heart. How in the world is she going to have a baby? She's 80-something years old. But my friends, when you and I have incredible faith, when we believe in the incredible, when we believe in that which blows your mind, number two, my dear friends, we will receive from God strength. And that word strength here in this verse, my friends, means this. It means miraculous power. Miraculous power. So in other words, she received strength or miraculous power or ability to be able to conceive. And when God has something for you and I, he will give to us what we need to have in order for that promise to be fulfilled. The Bible says Sarah herself received strength to do what? To conceive. Seed, offspring. And the Bible says, was delivered of a child. Not only did she conceive, or now was she pregnant, but she also delivered the child. That means it was actually produced. We have other moms who actually become pregnant. We have moms here today that become pregnant. They conceive a child, but that child never actually was produced into this world from outside the womb. The child went home with the Lord. But the Bible says this, not only did she conceive or have become pregnant, but she also produced the child. It came into this world. It was there. And as we've seen, we already know the story. Isaac went up on the mountain with his daddy Abraham when he was about to slay him on that altar. We see, my dear friends, that we will receive whatever we need to receive from him to have that promise come to fulfillment. She received strength. The Bible says she conceived. The Bible says she was delivered of a child, which means to be produced. When she was past age, that means past the proper time. Why, the Bible tells us? Because she judged him faithful. That word judge here means to consider or to think him faithful or trustworthy who had promised. So in other words, my dear friends, she decided, you know what? I can trust him. God is worthy of my trust. Let me ask you. Is God, I ain't talking about me. Is God worthy of your trust? Is he worthy for you to put your confidence in him that he will do the impossible? Pam, she just mentioned a few moments ago how the Lord just keep pulling out blessings. And she was, I'm sure I'm sharing this, but she showed me, she said that somebody from the school, I believe it was, from Kiara's school, and she don't really know the girl. She sees in the hallway, she passes by in the school, but she heard about her having a fire at the house. She went to her church, talked to her pastor, and she said, told her the situation. He said, you do like you feel like the Lord have you to do. So you know what she wound up doing? I guess she went and talked to some folks, whatever she did, but she came and gave Kiara how many pairs of jeans? What was the name of the jeans you told me? Devion. Who? Devion. Yeah, y'all know about them, see? I live across tracks. I don't know about them. But 22 pair of those. And then the blouses and stuff. Right. But then hold on. That ain't it. Then she showed me the card. And I saw the card. I saw, you know how you look at the card, you can tell because the card. Oh, don't mess me up. We're second here. But when she picked the card up, she handed the card. You know how the card normally flat.
Yeah.
But this card was puffy. And usually y'all know how it is. When you get the Christmas cards in the mail, you have to like it. If it's puffy, then you're like, woo. If it's flat, you're like, maybe woo.
Maybe check. But nonetheless, though, it was puffy. I said, and she said, I don't know if I want to look at it or not. And it was really puffy. Man, she opened that thing up. There are gift cards. All these gift cards. All these gift cards. $50, $50, $25. This is for Kohl's, for a grocery store, I made that one. American Express, amen. TJ Maxx, Marshalls, TJ Maxx, Sears, Old Navy, Sears. This is my dear friends. We say $430 worth of gift cards. Hallelujah. Listen. We have a God, my dear friends, that knows how to meet his children's needs. We've got a God, my dear friends, that says, hey, I can do the incredible. I can do the impossible. I can blow your natural mind. Woo! Hallelujah. We have a real God. Hallelujah. He's real. And what does it do to your faith? When you think he's done, I ain't done. He says, I'll open up a window and pour you out a blessing where you won't have enough room to receive it. Oh, if you trust me. And he did say, try me. How can you beat that? Listen, like the Bible says over here in Malachi, he says, prove me, which means test me. You can't beat that. When God says to you, do right here, you do this, I'm going to do this. Now test me. Prove me if I want to do it. We'll be like, well, God, but is it really you telling me to do this? Is it really the will of God? Is it really? He said, try me. Test me. But some of us, unfortunately, will never step over to that area of the incredible because we won't trust him to do the incredible. We'll stay here. We're safe. It's safe over here. Right here, it's nice and safe. I know what I think I can expect. I feel right here, I'm safe. And what's the term they use? Comfort zone. My comfort zone is comfortable here. You know, I don't want to change pillows. I know how this pillow feels. You know, I don't want to change jobs because I've been here for a long time. I don't know how they're going to act over there. Sometimes God got to shut the whole job down to get some folks out of there. Can you imagine someone trying to bless you? And then we won't do what he says do to be able to get the blessing. And remember, it ain't always material things. See, God can save you. Let's look at the money, for example. God can save you money by keeping you healthy. That's one way he can bless you. God can save you money by when you go into the store. He ever done this? Bought something and then rung it up. Like, whoa. It was cheaper than what you thought. Instead of $2, it was there for 99 cents. Like, man, I've got six of those, I'd have known that. But he saves your money. There's so many ways. But see, we're looking for different ways. You know. But God said, there's all kinds of ways I can work. There's all kinds of ways that I can move. When's the last time you had a good night's sleep? I mean, just slept good. Just slept. I ain't talking about fighting yourself and fighting your spouse and anybody else that came your way. I mean, just slept. Slept, I mean, and got up refreshed. Where to go? God says, trust me. Rely on my promises. And when you rely upon my promises, you'll watch this. You'll receive from me what you need to receive and open the promise to actually take place. But not only that, my dear friends, we've probably done not only that, but we see the incredible faith is rewarded. It receives, but it's also rewarded. It receives what it needs to have in order for the reward to come to pass. Look what the Bible says here, back over in chapter number 11, verse number 11. The Bible says this, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore,
sprang there even of one, talking about Sarah, and him, talking about Abraham, as good as dead. Because you remember, you know, you'll see later, that when the baby actually comes about, he's 100 years old. Sarah, I believe, was 90 years old when the baby actually got, she was pregnant, she was 89, and she was 90 when the baby came by. He said, his Bible good as dead. The baby's Bible said. The Bible said, therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. That means, my dear friends, without number. You can't count how many folks there are. This part of the Israeli family. By the way, that's another message. But the Bible talks about us also coming under that, under his family as well, and Abraham. That means, my dear friends, there's millions upon millions of billions of those that are placed on this blessing and this promise that was given to Abraham. Awesome. Now I'm gonna show you this, and we're done. Little Bible says in Genesis 21. Look at Genesis 21. We see faith is rewarded. Look at Genesis 21 and look at verse number 1. The Bible says this. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And don't you like it when somebody says, I'm come by, and they do come? They do visit. Well, guess what? The Lord said, I'm come by at such a time. And he was there. The Bible says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. He kept his word. He kept his promise. The Bible says, for Sarah conceived, was pregnant, and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time, the appointed time, the appointment of which God had spoken to him. God has an appointment. God has an appointment for that promise to be fulfilled. The Bible says, my dear friends, and Abraham called the name of his son that was born to him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac, which means laughter. The Bible says, and Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Hello. 100 years old. And here's his boy. Promise fulfilled. My dear friends, God keeps his words, and we will be rewarded when we trust God to do the incredible. But not only that, when we have incredible faith, it also causes rejoicing. The Bible says in verse 6, and Sarah said, God hath made has made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck or to give milk? For I have borne him a son in his old age. This laughter is talking about rejoicing, friends. By the way, it's the same. Oh, I forgot which word it is, but one of those two words there, this laugh, is the same exact word that was used over there. We looked at a few moments ago in Genesis chapter 18. God have caused me to laugh so that they may laugh with me. We're going to rejoice because God has fulfilled his promise. God has kept his word. When I mentioned that about Pam, what do? We all rejoiced. She don't give y'all, I'm gonna give Carl, but we all rejoiced. I kept that one on here. But nonetheless, I won't be still this while I'm preaching. But anyhow, maybe after banana before, but anyway. But nonetheless, my dear friends, rejoicing. When you and I have incredible faith, my dear friends, hey, rejoicing is right around the corner because we're trusting God to keep his promises. And by the way, others will also rejoice right along with us. I wonder when's the last time we call some other folks to rejoice because we've been rejoicing. When you hear about folks doing stuff to bless other folks,
If you got the Holy Ghost living in you at all, it's going to cause you to rejoice. Somebody mentioned about that. Somebody at McDonald's, I believe it was, that had given them. Was you tell me that, Julian? Somebody was telling about that. I saw that. But anyway, he had left, I think about $400 or $500 worth of gift cards and stuff for McDonald's. $25 gift cards, each one of them. And they took them and gave them to the guys who were looking for jobs down at the homeless shelter so they'd be able to get some food for lunch while they was going out to look for jobs. He did that. You know what folks did? They rejoiced. Yeah. Listen, my dear friends, when folks are getting blessed, there's others that rejoice as well. Yeah. But hold on a minute. What if we're not receiving the blessings that God has promised us because we're not doing what we need to do? So then others can rejoice like they could rejoice if we would do what we're supposed to do, so we'd be rejoicing and they'd be rejoicing. Can you say it all over again? No, I can't. But think about that. When you get blessed, others will be blessed as well. Maybe some of our homes aren't receiving the rejoicing that we need to receive because maybe there's one or a few people in the house that ain't doing what they need to do in order for these things to actually take place. Because you know how many it takes? Just one. It takes one. One person to say, you know what? I'm going to do exactly what the master says to do. No matter what anybody else says to do, I'm going to do exactly what he told me to do. And what's going to happen is the folks around you are going, they may not rejoice right away, especially when changes come. You know what I'm saying? It's out here. Like y'all from the homeschool. I'm sure your kids are on the way. Oh, we getting homeschooled. Praise the Lord. Glory! No. That may come later. It will come later. But right now they're thinking about what they might miss. You know? But if you're doing what the Lord has told you to do, what's going to happen is they're going to be blessed in return. They're going to be blessed. And then they'll look back and say, you know what? I'm so glad this took place. Because if this hadn't taken place, maybe this wouldn't have taken place. But because I did what God said to do, look what has happened. I think about when Brett went with me that time, when he was out of work, I believe it was, when he went with me that time down to Victory Baptist Church, and we went down there, and them folks, I'm telling you, they shot around, they run, they do laps and stuff. I mean, they're just having just a great time. But nonetheless, I never forget when we was over there at Travis's house, and Brett was missing. I don't know what Brett said. And then finally, Brett came in the house, you know. I said, you're not Brett. I said, well, where you at? I said, you all right? I said, yeah. I said, what you doing? He said, I was running. Okay. We in the house, and the service over with. He got down the street running. He just had to take a run. And praise the Lord. And then, where were we at? We were somewhere else, and God was dealing with him. And that was the same meeting, I believe it was, when he said that, that God was dealing with him about being a deacon, I believe it was. Well, see, later, after all this had taken place, it wasn't so much he dealing with about being a deacon. When he got saved last year, it was God dealing with about salvation. So I've known several folks in my life who even this, they have mistaken the call to preach for the call to salvation. Think about what I'm just saying for a few moments. So a lot of times a person will be living outside the will of God, doing some crazy stuff, all kinds of stuff, and they be out there smoking. I mean, I'm serious, smoking dope, drinking stuff. I say, you know what? I know God. I believe what God wants me to do. He wants me to start preaching. God wants me to start doing. You know, I don't know what God telling you. My first thought is, I think God wants you to get right first. Yeah. You know? I mean, once you get right, which could be that moment, then he may call you to preach right at that moment. You know what I'm saying? But I think once you get right first. And I've seen some guys, because I don't want to go down this road here, but I've seen a lot of stuff that's happened on this side of the pulpit that shouldn't be happening if you're a person that's called to preach. I mean, some bad stuff. And you wonder if that person was ever called. You know, but I can't say who was and who wasn't. But I'm going to tell you what, though. When you have been, there's something on here, in here. You can't help it. You be trying to be quiet. You're like,
I got to say something. I got to say something.
Well, that ain't right. And you have a desire to preach the word of God. It is a burning desire that can't be put out. I don't care how much water trying to get dumped on it. I mean, it just keeps there. Somebody mentioned a word about something. It's there, though. And then your heartbreak starts increasing. You be in a service. You're like, like, please end this, end this, end this, end this, end this thing so my heart can go back to like this. Yeah. Back after that service. But you know what? He'll come back again. That's not what you're going to start getting like that. And you'll be like, man, you'll be, everything will go around you good, but you'll be miserable. Be miserable. I mean, you have money to bank, everybody help, everybody fine, even it's miserable. What's wrong with miserable? Somebody's trying to get your attention. And then when God does get your attention, you surrender, you start rejoicing, what happens? When Brett surrendered to preach, what happened? Man, we rejoiced. We were shouting and praising God. When Steve announced his call to preach, what did we do? We rejoiced. When Randall was called to preach, announced his call, what did we do? We rejoiced. We rejoiced. When Billy was called to preach, we questioned, but we rejoiced. No, I'm just saying. But we rejoice. What the person comes forward to get saved, what do? We rejoice. Because they're now rejoicing. When God blesses somebody, when they're rejoicing, we're rejoicing. But my dear friends, what are we saying here? Listen, a lot of us could cause so much more rejoicing in others' lives if we would have that incredible faith, the faith to believe the incredible that God has promised us that he would do. What are we waiting on? Just to believe him. Here, we done. Let's go back over. Let's go back over to Hebrews. We're done. We're done. Look at Hebrews chapter number 11. Look what it says right here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. The Bible says, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because of something. Because she judged not herself, by the way, but she judged him faithful. We're not as faithful as we need to be. Even when you surrender to what God's calling you to do, you're not going to be as faithful as God would have you to be. Why? Because you still have a sin nature. You're still flawed. But the Bible says right here, though, my friends, but she judged him faithful who had promised, and he fulfilled his promise. Let me ask you this. What has he promised you? What has he said to you? What is he nudging you to do? It might be simply surrendering your life over to God. You're already saved, but he wants your life. It belongs to him because you gave it to him when you gave him your soul. You trusted Christ as your Savior. Okay, now it's time for us to use that life for him. Young person, old person, no matter who you are. What is he saying to you to do? And it might be a simple, maybe it's a matter of going to somebody saying you're sorry. Do you know that one little word, sorry, could change somebody's direction in their life? But if we won't be obedient at one little area that looks like us, I can't tell them I'm sorry. No. I mean, I'm going to be giving in, all that kind of stuff. And they're going to be like, yeah, you are sorry. Man, I want to hear none of that. So then you hold back. Maybe they say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for what I've been thinking. I'm sorry. I was wrong. And guess what? They may have been wrong, too. But that ain't our focus. If you focus, you wait on now. I mean, if I'm saying sorry. And how many times growing up as teenagers and kids, when we fell out with one another, especially y'all ladies, because you know how guys are, we get over it, man. We can fight each other, beat each other half to death, get done, say, hey, we'll go play this ball. But how many girls, though, and people in general, though, how many times we've not went and said, I'm sorry to somebody and be mad? I ain't saying that. She ain't saying to me. Then she look at her. She thinks she's all that. She ain't nothing. She was your best friend. And because somebody won't say they're sorry, then all of a sudden somebody says, you know what? Let me tell you about her. Because, you know, y'all were friends. So you know some. Okay. But anyway. What does he say for you to do? Two questions we're done. First of all, do you need incredible faith? Do you need incredible faith? Secondly, do you want incredible faith? Do you want incredible faith? And then lastly, just a simple statement. Let's ask God to increase our faith. As our brother said a few moments ago, let's ask God to increase our faith in his word. That's what he said. So now my question, is this. What has he said to you? Let's do it. Father, thank you for your meaningful blessings. I thank you, Lord, for the attentiveness of all those that are here tonight. I thank you, Lord, for, and I pray, Father, I beg in the name of your son, Jesus, that your word has penetrated minds and hearts. And I pray, God, that now we're going to act upon what you have said to us. We're going to respond by being obedient to whatever you said for us to do.